today we're going to very briefly look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Since we have two services, an English service and a Chinese service, we have to end the English service in a fairly much on time so that the next service can begin and we can start our Sunday school classes. And so we don't have very much time. It's almost at the end of our service. I'm just going to briefly touch on a couple of points, and we will continue. This will be kind of a two-part series, maybe a quarter of a part today, and next week you can come back for the final three-quarters of a part. But this year, many of you know that we have been focusing on a theme for the year, Into the Word and Out to the World, and it's our desire as a church and as leadership and as a body that we seek the Lord this year as never before, maybe, in terms of trying to be in the Word and to be transformed by the Word of God, and that transformation will also give us a motivation to share the love of Christ to our world that is in need of Jesus. Now, last month we examined the writing of Peter. I've been preaching through Romans, but once a month I'm going to be speaking on our theme. And last month we talked from, I spoke from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, and Peter had urged the church to be like newborn babies. And that's kind of an odd thing to think. Why would someone want to be a newborn baby? But he said that he would like the church to be like newborn babies who crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word of God. And so it's not that we should try to be immature, but that we are called to cultivate within ourselves a longing for, a craving for God's Word. And in fact, this desire for the Word of God is really the bedrock, the foundation of our approach to the Word. Because if we don't have a desire or a motivation to seek God in His Word, then we're not going to read the Word. We're not going to study the Word. We're not going to seek the Word to be a means of spiritual growth in our lives. And so my hope and my prayer and my exhortation for that message was that each of us would be motivated to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God on a consistent basis, and that it would be a means of spiritual growth in our lives. And today and next week, we're going to examine a little bit further of what the Word of God is, the nature of the Word of God, and how it is a transformative power in the lives of those who read it. And so we'll be looking in a moment at Paul's words to Timothy. Now, our first slide here, actually, and I think right before this, is a picture of a prisoner, which you might think, well, what does a prisoner have to do with anything? But actually, when I was in high school, I read an article about a prisoner who had made a mess of his life and, you know, found himself convicted of a crime in jail, and he had a desire in his testimony to turn his life around. And so he didn't exactly know how to do it, but he knew that he had friends and family who were believers, who followed Jesus, and so he dedicated himself during his time in prison to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God. And throughout his time in prison, he did that on a consistent basis, got involved in Bible studies, consistently read the Bible, studied the Bible, and through that he came into a relationship with Jesus, and his life was transformed. And then he would go on to get out of prison and to really make something of his life. And as I read this story, and I wasn't a pastor back then. I was just kind of meandering along in the church trying to figure out, you know, what anything was spiritually. But this story really had an impact on me, because I just thought, there's something to this Word of God. Here's a criminal, someone who's made a mess of their life, and they dedicate themselves to the Word of God, and at the end of the day, they're totally transformed. And I thought, you know, there must be something to this word. And so I took some of the savings I had in my piggy bank, and I went out and I bought my first Bible. I had no idea what kind of Bible to get. I went to the mall. I think it was B. Dalton Bookstore at the time, for those of you who are a little older. And I looked at Bibles, and I picked a black one. It was imitation leather. Couldn't afford leather. It was a Revised Standard version. I didn't even make the Revised Standard anymore, but I didn't want the King James because I couldn't understand the V's and the thou's and the ancient English language. And so I got myself a Bible, and I began to read it, and I think I was probably more confused than anything as I was reading through the Bible, especially the Old Testament. So I wouldn't say that the word necessarily had an immediate transforming power in my life, but a couple of years later I would be in college, and I would get involved in a Bible study, and it would be at that point that the word would really take hold of my life, and it would bring the transformation that I desired. But I believe God really planted a seed through that story and created a desire in me to know God and to know His Word. And I hope that that's something that is a desire for each of us, that we know God more, and we can know about God more through His Word, and that we desire His transformative power in our life. Now, the Word of God that we're going to look at today, just for a few minutes, is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and if we could read that together. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so, my overall challenge, as we will be looking at this Scripture over the next couple of weeks, is that we may be inspired to what? Can you have the next slide? That we may be inspired by the inspired Word of God, that you may experience transformation. And so, as you see, I have a little play on words here. That we be inspired, that we be motivated, that we may be stirred by God's inspired Word, and that we would be moved to be into the Word. That we would spend time with God as we read and study His Word on a regular basis, and as we allow the Word to transform our lives. Now, I'm really only going to talk about this one point here today, and that's the Word inspired. And we also see this little artwork. It says, "All Scripture is God-breathed." And we see in the Scriptures that actually in the English translations, both of these words are used in translation, either inspired or God-breathed. In the original Greek, the actual literal translation is God-spirited. God-spirited. And so somehow God spirits the word and inspires it. And so for the English translation, God-spirited doesn't really sound right. So some say that it's inspired by God. God-spirited is an inspiration of God in His Word, through His Word. And others use the terminology God-breathed. But the main point being that the Scriptures are from God, that they are inspired by God, that they are breathed upon by God. Now, the Scriptures that the Apostle Paul is referring to here is actually the Old Testament Scriptures. It would have been the Jewish Bible at the time. And so he's not referring to our New Testament, but he's urging Timothy, his apprentice, that he's mentoring, that he be in the Old Testament Word, and that the Old Testament Word indeed points to Jesus. And so at the time of Paul's writing, the New Testament, the 27 books of the New Testament, made up of various gospel accounts and letters, was in the midst of being compiled. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were all compiled or had recently compiled their accounts, and they had begun to be distributed amongst the churches. The Apostle Paul was beginning to do some of his writings. James was doing his writings. John was doing some writings. And these were all being distributed throughout the churches. And some churches probably had one gospel. Maybe the church in Ephesus had the gospels of of Mark and John and the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, his letter to them. And then another church, Corinth, had the letters that Paul wrote to Corinth, and maybe they had the Gospel of John. And so in the very beginning stages of Christianity, these letters weren't necessarily viewed as the Word of God like the Jewish Scriptures were, but nonetheless, the Jewish Scriptures pointed to Jesus, and these Gospel accounts by the Apostles were given high authority because these were eyewitness testimony of the Apostles to what they saw and learned from Jesus. And Paul's writings began to have authority as well, because he was a man of God who could really explain the ways of God. And so, though this doesn't refer to an inspiration of the New Testament, I think that we can safely be assured that as we apply the Word to our life, and as we interpret the Word, that indeed these words, even in the New Testament, are inspired by God, because it is a body of writing that the church agreed to over time. Over time, the Scriptures would have become more and more a part of all the various churches and what we call the canon. These writings of the New Testament started to come together, and in the 4th century A.D., the leaders of the churches got together and they made a final decision. These are the 27 books of the New Testament, and so through the leading of the Spirit, through the church, we now acknowledge that the New Testament writings are indeed the Word of God, inspired and meaningful meaningful in terms of truth and authority in the life of a believer. Now, one of the things that we believe about the Word of God, since it's God-breathed, since it's from God, is that it's actually truthful. The word of God was written by human hands, by all of these different writers, and they have their own styles. That you can tell the writings of Mark differs from the writings of Paul, and they have sometimes different cultural viewpoints. Some came from a more Hebrew culture in Jerusalem, and others, like the writer to the Hebrews, has much more of a Greek orientation in their cultural understanding. But nonetheless, these human writers wrote down their words. They weren't necessarily thinking, I'm going to sit down and write the Word of God today. But nonetheless, they were writing the things that they had seen and that they had experienced and they had knowledge of. And the Lord God used His Spirit to help them to write the truth that He wanted to have written. And so, since it's from God, we acknowledge that the words are inerrant. Inerrant means that the Word is trustworthy, that the Word is without error. Now, when we say that the Word is without error, we have to think of it in terms of the time and the place and the authors that were writing the Word of God. There's some that will say the Scriptures are false. The Scriptures have error. And you know why? And the argument is, Jesus said the smallest seed. What is the smallest seed? And they all said the mustard seed. And then someone says, well, we know scientifically that there's a smaller seed. In Papua New Guinea, there's a seed that's much smaller than a mustard seed. So Jesus was wrong. Well, Jesus was talking to his time and culture, and in his time and culture, the smallest seed was the mustard seed. And so Jesus wasn't, thinking in terms of eternity from being on the throne and knowing all knowledge, but he's talking to people of a time and place. And so when we discuss the truthfulness of Scripture, we acknowledge that it's according to the time and the place and the cultural understanding of the people. It also matters in terms of the literature of the Bible. There's some poetry, and there's some history, and there's didactic teaching. We don't necessarily view poetry when we read poetry as having the same type of scientific meaning as we would a textbook. Poetry and textbooks in our society are totally different, and in the Bible, in the biblical literature, it's the same thing. When we read many Psalms and the Song of Solomon, these aren't necessarily meant to be like a textbook, a dry textbook, but to be poetry, but which we can still derive truth out of. And so we see that the Word of God is trustworthy, it's from God, and it's authoritative in our lives. and it's authoritative for our church. And so we seek to live according to the Word, to know God's Word, and to follow and obey God's Word, seeking to do what it says and to live according to the ways that are explicated in the Word. And so I have to wrap up our time now, but if we go back to the slide that gives the challenge, and my challenge is to be inspired by the inspired Word of God. And we talked a little bit about what the inspired Word of God is, that it's God breathed, that it's from God, that it's trustworthy, that is without error, and that is an authoritative for our life, and that we would find inspiration in that we would seek to live according to the Word and under the Word, and that through that we will experience transformation. And next week we'll talk a little bit more about what that transformation means and how God works in His Word to help us to become transformed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You that we are people of the book, and that it is through Your Word that Your Holy Spirit reveals Jesus, brings us into an encounter with God, and helps us to live according to the ways that You command, according to Your grace, according to Your Spirit. And so we thank You for Your Word, and we ask that You would help us, Lord, to have a motivation, to have a desire, to have a craving to know You more and to spend time in Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.